defending the truth on the front lines of the information war. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, we got a couple more things from Trump here before we show you some of the latest Kamala cringe. A couple stories that you probably haven't heard of from Donald Trump's life. And leave it to Hall of Fame wrestler The Undertaker to do that interview. Imagine all the mainstream people or all the news people that could have made a name for themselves, you know, helped build their profile as journalists, as interviewers, and they just passed on the real stories and instead try to destroy Trump, get Trump, thinking that'll help them. Maybe that is the new way to climb the ladder in the American media, in the mainstream corrupt fake news media. Maybe that's how you climb the ladder, not doing a real interview, but trying to hurt Donald Trump. So how about The Undertaker does it? Then, by the way, he was in a video with The Undertaker and Kane promoting him. So did you ever hear about Trump and Nelson Mandela? Anybody ever bring this up in an interview? No, but The Undertaker did in clip 31.
Nelson Mandela and 80 of his constituents were trying to come to the United States.
Yeah.
The United States government wasn't helping
him. This was Tyrus. Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me correct myself. I'm sorry. Trump is doing so many interviews and podcasts, I can't even keep up with the guy. My goodness. This was on another former WWE wrestler. Tyrus. Tyrus. Excuse me. He's on Fox News now, too. Excuse me. This was Tyrus. Oh, go ahead, guys.
Nelson Mandela and 80 of his constituents were trying to come to the United States.
Yeah.
The United States government wasn't helping him. No one was helping him. You chartered a 727 plane for their entire trip.
Yeah.
How is somebody, and that's crazy because you can talk about anything, and why is it hard for you to talk about the things you've done? It runs in your family. Your father helped build a synagogue. I mean, why do we not know those things?
It's something that I love doing it. I don't need praise for it. I just like helping people. I help a lot of people, and I enjoy doing it, and I never talk about it. It's nice that you bring it up. I also think it's not a narrative that the press likes talking about, for me.
But I think it would help a lot of the American people who have been misled, I myself included. Now, listen, I'm voting for you now because of the man you are, not just because of the policies. Because not every American will get the opportunity that I had to saw who you were backstage. And that's why I have this list. I mean, I have testimonials. We can't go through all of them because
I want to see them.
Now, this was I had to dig deep.
I like that.
You donated $100,000 to raise dogs? You're not even a dog guy. Yeah. Explain that.
Well, that's Lara. So I have a wonderful, the wife of Eric, and she's a terrific person. You know, she's actually now a very big and important person in getting elected in the Republican Party. She comes from North Carolina. She loves the dogs. And I did that in her honor, actually. And, you know, if you listen to her, boy, dogs are treated very badly. They're, you know, some evil people having to do even with dogs. So I did that for my daughter-in-law, yeah, more so than me. I don't know that much about dogs, but I want to take care of them. And I had an opportunity. You know, as president, you can do a lot of things. I did a lot. The size of the kennels, the size of the cage, you know, there's like cages that they're in. And it's terrible. It's like you have no room, no nothing. And she came in with a whole group of people. These are people that really fight hard for dogs. I mean, you have people that fight. And she's a good person, so I did it for her.
I have hundreds of employees who have said things like, you've paid medical bills, you paid mortgages, rents, you've helped get family members. There's one story in here where a brother came in with a business plan, nobody would hear him. You gave him 10 minutes, you shook his hand, and you cut him a check.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard for you and even your team? I'm a little upset. These are things that I think the American people need to. And I get it, you're humble because you're a father first.
Yeah.
And a grandfather.
So again, that was Tyrus. Manhood is under attack with Donald Trump. Yeah, and then I'm glad you guys had that. I got this one on my desk too. That was the original headline from 1990. Muammar Gaddafi's tent finds home on Donald Trump's estate. He let Gaddafi literally set up a tent when he was coming to visit the United States in New York. He was coming to attend the UN General Assembly. This was, of course, Hillary with her famous, we came, he saw, he died. And you know, they killed Gaddafi because he actually tried to make Libya a strong nation, so you couldn't have that. He actually wanted the resources there to benefit the people and not the oligarchs from foreign countries. So they, you know, they took him out. Hillary bragged about it, laughed about it. So that's Donald Trump trying to have good relations, trying to build respect, trying to bring peace, trying to help people. And the media tears him down. The Hollywood celebrities tear him down. The DC establishment tears him down. I mean, the picture is so clear. It's just so clear. It's been clear. It's been clear for 8 years now. It's been clear. The corrupt political establishment hates this man because he's not corrupt. The corrupt entertainment world, the corrupt media, they all hate him because he's not corrupt. He's a good person. He actually wants to do things for this country, and they hate that. They hate people. They want to see people suffer. They want to see people under boot. They want to separate. They want to decouple from the average American. They don't want you to have a foot in the game. This stuff is everywhere. Now, this was Trump with The Undertaker talking about The Rock, who came out and basically said he regretted endorsing Biden, gave Donald Trump a phone call after the assassination attempt. Clip 33.
Is my social media?
It's pretty big.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Who's the biggest on social media?
The Rock.
Oh, The Rock is, yeah. Dwayne Johnson.
You know, he was great. I never thought he liked me. And I felt badly because I think he's a terrific guy. And then Dana White said, when I was shot, took a shot to the ear. You may have heard about it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about it.
I heard some ramblings about this.
Yes. Rock called Dana and said, I want to have his number. What he did is sort of incredible. He considered it bravery. I don't know. To me, I considered it like, what's going on here? But it was very nice, actually, The Rock. So you might mention that I said that. Do you speak to him?
Occasionally. I saw him in April.
You know, it's amazing. As you have football players coming out and endorsing Donald Trump, and you have wrestlers coming out and endorsing Donald Trump. By the way, there's an old, I think it was when Trump Plaza hosted WrestleMania. Trump Plaza hosted a WWF event. This was back in those days. And one of the reporters goes over to Trump to talk to him during the event. This video is somewhere in our stash. We'll see if the crew can go on an Easter egg hunt and find it. But they came up. They said, oh, Donald, who's your favorite wrestler? He said The Rock. And this was before The Rock was big. This is when he first came onto the scene. He was talking about how much he liked The Rock. So, you know, Trump, you know, he kind of is like that. If he felt I really like The Rock. But if he doesn't like me, you know. But anyway, the point is, all these football players, all these wrestlers, they're coming out, they're endorsing Trump, they're talking to Trump, they're campaigning for Trump, and now they're sharing behind the scenes how they're getting attacked. And they have other football players saying, how dare you come out and support Trump? Don't you know he's this, he's that? You have these wrestlers coming out and attacking him. Don't, you can't support Trump. Why are you doing this? You're destroying your legacy. And it's the exact opposite. Dave Bautista, I guess he's a big lib, scolding people for supporting Trump. It's like, Dave, you're the one hurting your legacy. Not The Undertaker. You. All these football players, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, they haven't been this popular since they played in the league. And then you got all these other football players sending them messages like, hey, what are you doing? How dare you say this? How dare you do this? Well, maybe they care about the country. Maybe they don't like political corruption. Maybe they like Donald Trump. It's like, oh, no.
No, you're not allowed to do that. You have to be a Democrat. You have to promote liberals and Democrats and progressives. Don't you know? How dare you? Yeah, who is the real cult? Who are the real bullies? Before we get into the Kamala cringe, let's look at what Elon Musk is up to. He's campaigning all across Pennsylvania. And first, let's start with this, Doge. This guy loves, Elon has an interesting sense of humor. Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency, and I guess Doge is his favorite crypto too. So here's Elon Musk talking about Doge, what will be the government agency, not the coin, in clip 28.
Laws and rules and regulations are immortal. And so every year, there's more rules, regulations, and laws, and they don't die because they're immortal, but we're humans, we're immortal, we do die. So that you get this accumulation over time. In the historically, what has caused a reset of the laws and regulations has been war. Now, we'd like to ideally avoid war, but we still need this massive reset of regulations and reduction of regulations, ideally without the forcing function of war. But it is an interesting thing that the longer that there is peace and prosperity, the more rules and regulations will accumulate until eventually everything's legal. So that's why I think it is essential that we have a very conscious effort to reduce the laws and regulations, or eventually no one will be allowed to do anything.